W252DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250CV.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. The five police officers accused of beating a black man to death in Memphis are in court this morning and pleading not guilty. Tyree Nichols died last month. The officers face charges that include second-degree murder. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman is still hospitalized, checking himself in for clinical depression. He was elected in November after he also suffered a stroke.
Around 16 million adults in this country struggle with depression every single year. Fetterman's wife tweeted, after what he's been through in the past year, there's probably no one who wanted to talk about his own health less than John. She adds she is so proud of him for asking for help. Senators on both sides of the aisle this morning are commending Fetterman for getting the help that he needs and are wishing him well.
That's ABC's Rachel Scott. More miracles in the earthquake zone in Turkey and Syria. Two more survivors were pulled from the rubble. The death toll is staggering, at least 42,000 killed. A television pledge drive in Turkey has raised $6 billion. This is ABC News. More testimony in the murder trial of South Carolina lawyer Alex Murdaugh. ABC's Eva Pilgrim is at the courthouse and says an incident in which Murdaugh was shot on a roadside is up for discussion.
3 months after the murders of his wife and son, Alec Murdaugh called 911 saying he'd been shot. Police body camera video showing Murdaugh in the back of an ambulance telling investigators someone tried to shoot him while he was changing a flat tire. He was airlifted to a hospital in Savannah. But Murdaugh later admitting to police he staged the whole thing, a botched suicide attempt to get insurance money for his surviving son, Buster.
Murdaugh is accused of killing another son and his wife. Federal prosecutors are asking for a sentence of 25 years for singer R. Kelly after his conviction in Chicago for child pornography. He's already serving 30 years on another conviction. A new study from the CDC says half of kids under five typically don't eat enough vegetables during the day. Only a third eat a serving of fruit. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Authorities in southeast Wisconsin blame yesterday's snowstorm for a 30-car pileup on Interstate 41 near the Washington-Dodge County line. Three people were hurt, but they're all expected to pull through. It took 7 hours to clean up the mess. Republican state lawmakers say they'll start from scratch and draft their own state budget rather than work on what Governor Evers proposed this week.
Certainly the budget's going to look different for where it ends the process from where it started. But, you know, I mean, certainly there's going to be areas of compromise and consensus.
That's Senator Andre Jacques of DePere. The budget is now in the hands of the Joint Finance Committee. In sports, the Bucks beat Chicago last night 112-100. Milwaukee's 12-game winning streak is the longest in the NBA this season. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local civic media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with Sandy. Sandy, help me figure this out. Volodymyr Zelensky pushes for speedy support to avoid more Ukrainian deaths. So they certainly at a tipping point right now, Ukraine is in this war, as Russia has ramped up things and are really showing them basically, you know, the power and the might of the Soviet Union. And Ukraine can't match it because they don't have what it was going to take and never had it from the beginning to keep this thing going. And so Volodymyr Zelensky is saying, hey, NATO, America, if you don't hurry up and give us these weapons, you know, the blood is going to be on your hands. How do you respond to that, Sandy?
Well, I mean, the whole problem is the one that you and I identified at the beginning of the conflict, which is if the West, if NATO and America don't have enough actual strategic interest in Ukraine to throw their own troops, blood, and treasure into that conflict in their entirety, they're fighting against the second most powerful military nation in the world, okay? And so that was going to be a war and a land war of attrition against Russia. Everyone knew with 14,000 tanks and an experience in land wars that no other country has had in the last century, that that would be an immensely difficult war and a war of attrition. And everyone knew that Ukraine standing alone could not win a war of attrition against Russia. And so then the question is, you know, why, you know, so what we did was we gave Ukraine a sense of power sufficient to for them to, I guess, stand up to Russia with respect to the negotiations that might have avoided the war in Ukraine, the same way that Georgia avoided a war. And at that time, the United States recognized the lack of strategic import of Georgia to the United States, and we let the negotiation happen. Georgia is a freestanding country. You know, they aren't subject to direct control by Russia. And in fact, most of the people who left Russia to avoid the draft went to Georgia and are sitting safely in Georgia, immune from the draft. But because we didn't do that, because our policy leaders stirred up the pot with America by suggesting to us that it was our duty to defend democracy in Ukraine, we have now a domestic political scene that is agitating for us to throw a great deal of stuff into the Ukrainian war. But Ukraine can't be saved without us essentially crossing red lines that we announced in the beginning. We aren't going to put troops in Ukraine. Every other NATO country has said, we will not put troops in Ukraine. We will not put aircraft into Ukraine. We said that from the beginning. And just about every other NATO country other than Poland has said, yeah, we're not going to put aircraft into Ukraine. And without troops and without aircraft, it's really essentially impossible for us to defend Ukraine in a war of attrition against Russia. And now that Ukraine has talked about going to Crimea, we have Blinken, which I had talked about this earlier, saying, you know, Ukraine's off limits as far as the United States is concerned. We know that it's a red line for Putin and Russia. And if the war starts focusing on Crimea and Sevastopol, there will be a far bigger war, and Russia will put far more of its military might into it than they even currently are. And so, you know, we've push has come to shove. It's a little bit like when Ukraine was winning, it was a bit like the Bears winning at the end of the first quarter against the Eagles or the Chiefs, right?
You knew what the outcome was going to be.
Everyone knows what the outcome is going to be, but everyone says, yeah, boy, this is a surprise. The Bears are winning at the end of the first quarter. And that's sort of what's happened. We're really only at halftime at most here, and Ukraine has done better than expected. They've put up quite a fight against Russia. Russia has demonstrated that they don't have totally the military machine everyone thought they did, but they do have lots of men. They are immediately adjacent to Ukraine. They had 14,000 tanks to start with, which is almost three times as many tanks as even the United States has. And so they are equipped for a land war in a way that, you know, is really not to be withstood in the long run.
Yeah, I think I remember reading something that said at the time that Russia has over 80% of its military involved in this war.
Well, in fact, I saw...
Or 90, maybe.
I saw someone, an English UK guy, say that he thought it was 97%
yes.
of the army was committed to Ukraine. But they have a huge reserve army. They were able to call up 300,000 people. I don't know the quality. Many of them might have, you know, they also have the Wagner Group with their convicts or whatever. But they are... There is a great deal of bloodshed occurring in the Donetsk region, the Donbass, where the war is ongoing and hot, and the Ukrainians are losing manpower like mad. They both sides, it's a bloodletting, okay? And Russia apparently is content to lose its own blood so long as Ukraine is losing as much or more because they understand the numbers.
So Sandy, Volodymyr Zelensky, who... is a great cheerleader at times and who clearly has gone around and tried to make the case for NATO and others that we can win this thing. And even though the Joint Chiefs know there's no way they can win the thing, even though President Biden knows there's no way they can win the thing. And so right now Zelensky is basically telling the allies, we're losing this now because you guys haven't done your part. You haven't given us the things we need to continue this battle. Well, some of those smaller allied nations, they don't have the resources.
Well, and many of them have committed quite a bit in terms of the relative scale of their own military resources and what they've committed to it. But I think the operative word you used and the difficult word is win, okay? Because win is a matter of definition. And if winning requires that all of the Crimea be recovered and that the Donbass be recovered, the portions that have been at least formally or theoretically annexed by Russia— that's not going to happen.
Well, so
and that's what we all know, and that's what the Joint Chiefs and everyone else knows is not going to happen. And we know that if this got to the point where Ukraine won and Russia was backed off, we'd end up with the process of ever continuing sanctions against Russia, no basis for smoothing down the feathers with Russia. We'd have a very uncomfortable peace. If Russia wins, the end game is even worse, because we end up with an occupied Ukraine, we end up with for sanctions forever, we end up with a pariah nation, we end up with the hottest kind of Cold War. And so there needs to be a diplomatic settlement, and I think the United States hopefully is setting the stage for that by, one, saying, look, Crimea is off. Listen, Mr. Zelensky, we're not going to go for going into a battle and supporting you in a battle to recover Crimea. As soon as we've gone to that point, we've already essentially announced that there is a definition of settlement and win that is moderate.
Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. And I know that we don't get a lot of callers when we're talking about Ukraine. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter whether or not we get a lot of callers, because the conversation we're having at some point in time, Sandy, is going to get even broader as we get closer to the spring, right? And it's not going to be that the conversations about, you know, the things we were talking about earlier in the show are going to be the things that are going to be, you know, taking control over the media. It's going to be, at some point in time, what's happening in Ukraine.
Well, I think the problem is, and Ukraine's an object lesson that I think, the reason why I want to talk about it is I think it's an important object lesson that relates to China as well. And we can see how quickly domestic politics will become hysterical about international affairs, the balloon, okay? We whipped ourselves up into a fair domestic frenzy over the balloon, even to the point of now sending, you know, $100,000 rockets to take down a balloon which was put up there by a balloon club in Illinois, and we had a great deal of hysteria over the notion of this surveillance balloon that was Chinese based. That apparently are part of a large bunch of balloons that are released. We in America release balloons all the time. We have all kinds of surveillance that's undergoing. We don't make a big point out of our surveillance or out of the surveillance of other countries, because it's a way of life. And it's all part of the intelligence apparatus. And like I've said before, surveillance is a way for countries to gain comfort about one another. Right. It's not always hostile to do surveillance. It's many times just the opposite. And so we have to be very careful about letting our domestic politics whip ourselves up into a frenzy internationally, because Taiwan is a far bigger problem than Ukraine. Ukraine's a huge problem, and it's a very but Taiwan, if it goes wrong and runs amok, can be a far bigger problem.
You know, Sandy, the fact that we can't focus on these things, which we can act like this doesn't impact us as American citizens, but it will in the long run, right? I mean,
well, of course it does, because our defense budget, you know, we've talked about all the things we think America, the government ought to be doing for American citizens, and really the biggest reason why we can't do it is the budget we have for defense expenditures, which dwarfs our expenditures on any social program, and it basically makes it impossible for us to implement anything new.
Got to go to a break. Sherman, hang on. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. No.
Hey.
The Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast. Bright sunshine expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 26. West winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows level off around 21. High temperatures reach up to 39 tomorrow. A blend of clouds and sun. A dusting of snow Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 16.
Hey, Fox Valley, if you've got a favorite supper club, we're your station, Civic Media.
I've got to take a little time. Time to think things over. I better read between the lines in case I need it when I'm older.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. Let's go to Sherman from Racine. Hey, good morning, Sherman. How you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. You say what? Sherman, are you there?
Okay, yeah, man, I was listening to you guys. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, okay. All right, yeah, man, I'm listening to what you guys are saying. I'm glad you guys are talking about Ukraine. I heard you say when you go to the subject, we don't get that many calls. And, you know, that's unfortunate because, you know, that could possibly be World War III over there. And I'm not sure on this, I'm not sure why it's not getting any much more attention on the in the political circles, because as Sandy just said, Zelensky and the Ukrainians, they want Crimea back, and I don't blame them. If somebody took Florida, we would want it back, and that's a Black Sea warm weather port that the Russians had during the Cold War, and they went in there and took it. It was unfortunate that President Obama couldn't be stronger militarily, but he was trying to get out of Afghanistan and all of that. So, and Putin took advantage of that. But as Sandy said also, the Chinese are watching. And if we allow Russia to take any part of Ukraine, the Chinese going to move on Taiwan. And we all know it, anybody that's paying attention. And my question or my concern is that we have too much of our manufacturing base offshore. And at some point, the politicians are going to have to pay attention and start encouraging companies, whether they change tax law or however they got to do it.
Let me ask
you. Go ahead.
And then let Sandy respond. Why? I mean, if China moves on Taiwan, how is that our responsibility?
Okay, check this out. I'm glad you asked that question. I went to go try to buy a new 2023 truck to trade in my old one. They don't have none in stock because they don't have the chips anymore, because the companies here, when I was in the military, Sandy, back in the early late 70s when computers were first starting, Intel processors was the standard, okay? For whatever reason, companies in the United States, American companies, allowed the Taiwanese to take over the chip market. And the Taiwanese were real smart. They were playing chess while we were playing checkers. They know China want to take that, want that island back. That was foremost. They want it back.
Yeah, back.
And they positioned themselves. They positioned themselves they put themselves in a position to where the Western economies are dependent on Taiwan for those chips.
Because our whole economy
is crazy.
So hang on.
Right?
Go ahead, Sid.
Well, let me just say, you're talking about the same subjects I'm talking about, but I'm afraid you and I are on the opposite side of the analysis of it. A couple of things.
I understand that.
Yeah. Hold on.
Because my view is that we don't have the strategic interest that causes us to be willing to devote troops and all of our blood and treasure to Ukraine. We don't have the real political interest that should cause us to ignore the fact that it lies well within Russia's hegemony, and that, for instance, Crimea and Sevastopol was part of not just the Soviet Union, but before that, the Romanov version of Russia, and that the only reason it became part of Ukraine was when the Soviet Socialist Republic of Ukraine had its border refounded by Khrushchev, who was born in Ukraine, who decided to rejigger the boundaries because it didn't make any difference. It was like changing the boundary of Florida and Georgia. But on the side of Taiwan, yes. Taiwanese became fundamentally strong in the production of silicon and chips, but they did it not because they were trying to put themselves into a fundamentally important strategic position. They did it because the Taiwanese chip manufacturing company became very good at it. Much of their manufacturing is actually done in China, and the president of the CEO of that corporation is actually sympathetic to and doesn't want to support separatism on the part of Taiwan. He wants to stay a part of China.
Hold up, Sandy.
I make my case at least. So we've got Taiwan that was, incidentally, a part of mainland China when China was all one country. They have a civil war. The Kuomintang end up being exiled to Formosa. We never recognized Formosa as a country. We agree in 1979 that it's a part. There's a one China policy adopted. We also say that we will, if China wants to militarily change that, we will support Taiwan, whatever that means. But Taiwan is not an independent, free, democratic country, and we've never recognized it as such. And so then are we really willing to devote all of our blood, treasure, and troops to what would be an enormously expensive defense of it? And the fact is that it is part of China.
So listen, we've got to go to a break.
Okay.
Sherman, we got to go to a break. Thank you very much for the call. Sigma, hang on. We'll come to you right after the break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. Sigma.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. The five police officers accused of beating a black man to death in Memphis are in court this morning and pleading not guilty Tyree Nichols died last month. The officers faced charges that include second-degree murder. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman is still hospitalized, checking himself in for clinical depression. He was elected in November after he also suffered a stroke.
Around 16 million adults in this country struggle with depression every single year. Fetterman's wife tweeted, after what he's been through in the past year, there's probably no one who wanted to talk about his own health less than John. She adds she is so proud of him for asking for help. Senators on both sides of the aisle this morning are commending Fetterman for getting the help that he needs and are wishing him well.
That's ABC's Rachel Scott. More miracles in the earthquake zone in Turkey and Syria. Two more survivors were pulled from the rubble. The death toll is staggering, at least 42,000 killed. A television pledge drive in Turkey has raised $6 billion. This is ABC News.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Milwaukee's population went up by 800 after an appeal of its 2020 census results. Milwaukee's official population stands at a little more than 577,000. That's down about 3% from the 2010 headcount. Milwaukee leaders are also appealing what they say is an undercount in minority neighborhoods. Air National Guard leaders say they're proud Wisconsin-based jets shot down a UFO over Lake Huron Sunday.
And I think the nation's awareness of our capabilities and our relevance has only gone up.
That's Brigadier General David May in an exclusive interview with Civic Media's Todd Albaugh. In sports, the Bucks beat Chicago last night 112-100. Milwaukee's 12-game winning streak is the longest in the NBA this season. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Rank Seed has been breeding better seeds for generations. Each year, Rank invests tens of millions of dollars to support DNA-level breeding and new trait development. This dedication to research has resulted in numerous insect-resistant, herbicide, and drought-tolerant traits in our lineup. Rank Seed utilizes the latest technologies, including robotics and color sorters, to ensure the highest germination and the best quality of seed, tirelessly striving to better serve our farmers. From research to results, Rank Seed is rooted in technology.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I don't know what that is. Yeah.
Well, it's thunder and lightning.
Yeah. And there's some talking.
Sorry about that, guys. It turns out this was the music video to the song.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right. All right.
So there was a video that none of us can see.
Right.
Including all the radio.
So he'll play the song later. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams. Okay. All right. Let's go to Sigmund from Chicago. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, sir.
Thank you. I have a little different perspective.
perhaps because I was born in Poland. I remember when we get independence in 1990, there was a calculation because of Eastern Europe becoming independent that U.S. saved $50 billion a year on military spending. Now, I have friends in Poland, and they tell me that Poland wants to go to the war with Russia because they don't want the same thing happen every few decades, you know. Poland is like 40 million people plus. Ukraine is 78. It depends how you count all the provinces. That's as much as Russia. And people don't trust Russia completely. And if Ukraine become independent, that's a very smart country. So it's Poland. We have a lot of good scientists, good military equipment. Now Poland has a big cooperation with Korea right now. Ukraine was known, you know, they built the biggest aircraft. So they are very good too. So I think Poland and Hungary and Czech Republic and Slovakia, all the Eastern Europe in Ukraine, there's like 200 million people. Like, that could be also a great industry, easy comparable to Taiwan. If Ukraine become independent, America will not have to do anything in Europe anymore because there will be such advantage of European forces that can totally focus on, Asian.
Sir, to what expense is Poland willing to go?
Well, wait a minute. Poland is a member of NATO, and so Article 5 of NATO will protect Poland. So if Poland were to be attacked by Russia, the NATO forces, all of them, United States, Britain, all of them, would be subject to
defending
Poland. Coming to their defense to the full. So they would have to apply troops. It isn't just that they promised to help somewhat. That article says we're gonna protect you as if you are ours, as if you are us. So we made a decision, and NATO made a decision that Poland was geopolitically important enough for NATO to be a part of NATO. That didn't happen with Ukraine, and my understanding is that Germany amongst maybe some other NATO countries was never going to say yes to having Ukraine in NATO because they didn't believe that NATO was geopolitically important enough like Poland was. And so, you know, we just have to look at geopolitical realities. I mean, there's certainly a moral story to be told and an emotional story to be told that suggests that Ukraine is a situation that we should all be very sympathetic to and helpful about. But unfortunately, international affairs is done on a much more pragmatic basis that doesn't really involve morality that much. I think the population of Ukraine was 44 million before they were surrounded by Russian troops, and then I don't know how much out-migration there was, but it was estimated to be in the 7 million number. So I suspect the remaining population of Ukraine is in the high 30 millions, mid to high 30 millions. And Ukraine is definitely a terrible situation that has been created. But some of it was created because they decided not to negotiate with Russia and to capitulate with what Russia was demanding of them in terms of the hegemony, and therefore Russia invaded them. You know, there was the same kind of pressure put on Georgia. There was a mini installation of troops in Georgia, but a rapid change in view. And so I just think that we can't simplify this as much as we would like to, just from an emotional standpoint. And I totally understand how you, particularly from Poland, you know, living through the Cold War and living through the Warsaw Pact and living through the occupied status of those countries, has a definite view of Russia and the need to avoid any recurrence of that. But at least the countries you identified, other than Ukraine, are all members of NATO.
So let me ask you.
Yes,
go ahead.
I would like to say where and how far you can compromise. Like, the Russians, actually Putin, because that's Putin, not Russia talking, they don't want Ukraine even to be in European Union. But they should accelerate that process. And when Ukraine become in European Union with open border, they are almost open to Poland anyway. Then they become strong European country.
Well, I think
that would be a huge state.
I think that might. I'm not sure of that because I know that Putin, after about 2 months after the invasion, Zelensky said that he was no longer interested in becoming a part of NATO or was willing to agree not to become a part of NATO. And Putin announced that he was, as far as he was concerned, it was okay if Ukraine became a member of the European Union. Now, maybe all these positions have hardened more since then, but at least in about April or May of this year, the positions were different. And maybe they were just talking publicly about grounds for negotiation and settlement. And my belief is that if we get to a negotiation and a settlement, it will result in a neutral Ukraine, Ukraine being a member of the European Union, and Ukraine not being a member of NATO, and that there will be a disposition of the Crimea that will be satisfactory to Russia.
Yeah, I would agree with you, but they don't want Ukraine to be European Union. And also with what it happened, with being with Ukraine, with European Union, borders will be open. Of course, there will be tons of investments into Ukraine. People start to speak more English. People will put all the administrative and infrastructure comparable to European, and that will be as almost to be in NATO, because if something really bad happened, NATO could move to Ukraine immediately, because there will be some, like Poland right now is doing this progress with German forces moving to Eastern Europe, mostly to Poland, and rotating. So it's not like they move, but they're rotating now. They're rotating more. So I think that in general, investment of U.S. In Ukraine could be comparable to investment of U.S. in Eastern Europe.
But that will happen after the war, right?
Yeah, but then. What I'm saying, those finances are not lost. They'll be much less spent in following decades because Russia without Ukraine is just like gas station, basically, especially in the context of all the clean energy.
All right, Sigmund, thank you very much for the call.
Well, I think that was an interesting call. Thank you, Sigmund. And I agree that Ukraine is strategically important to Russia, and it's why this invasion happened. It's why it's a part of their hegemony and not so much a part of ours. But I do think the magically positive outcome of this could be, and if Putin is a man of his word, which everyone doubts, I guess, he did say earlier this year that he was okay with Ukraine joining the European Union, and you're right. If that occurs, it will have a very, very significant impact on Ukraine, its development, its redevelopment, and its focus and the way it faces. It will face West rather than East in a far greater way.
So, and, you know, at the end of all of this, Sandy, is some tremendous pain that's just around the corner, which is what Zelensky is talking about. He sees it.
Well, tremendous pain. They're experiencing it right now. And so, you know, you have to measure, like I said in the beginning, really what should have been measured is what could the outcome have been of a negotiation between Ukraine and Russia before the invasion, and what will be the outcome of the negotiation that settles this war, and what's the incremental difference in that, and was it worth the huge loss of life and the destruction of infrastructure that occurred? And, you know, we can't measure that until after the fact. I look at it and basically predict that I think Ukraine could have obtained, because they would have had some Western backing in the context of the negotiation with Russia, they could have achieved European Union status and neutrality and the things that I talked about prior to the invasion. But we'll see.
You know, you did clearly state early on that this is something that could have been avoided.
Well, I don't, you know, I think, look, I'm an outside observer. My sense is that, well, the war could have been avoided. What would Ukraine have had to give up to avoid the war? That's not altogether apparent. It was clear that at the time before the invasion, Russia was wanting the Zelensky government to step down and to create a Russian-leaning government that would step in. He was not, however, at that point, I don't think, requiring that they not enter the European Union. And, you know, my sense is that in the current state, he's going to probably have to give up, Putin will have to give up this objection to the European Union status in exchange for a promise of never being in NATO and being neutral and to get Crimea.
But if you know, and certainly there's something to be said about being brave, but to what end? If your nation is completely wrecked, because after this is all said and done, the nation's going to be wrecked.
Well, they will have,
right?
They will have probably lost a generation of men, just like, you know, this war is being fought not like World War II, but like World War I, with trenches and
right.
battle lines that move, you know, 500 meters.
Almost hand-to-hand combat.
They have hand-to-hand combat. There's videos of it. They're, you know, they're moving from one person's trench to the other and fighting within the trenches against one another. It's a god-awful, terrible, bloody kind of war. And so, you know, that's what's happening.
You know, and even though it might appear, because the other war is going on in the world, and we can't be everywhere. And I know for those who think that the right thing for us to do is to step in and clearly take Russia on. And people are unmindful again of what the outcomes. Who was it? Was it you, Sandy, or somebody mentioned that World War III? I think it might have been Sherman. But that clearly has to always be in the front, you know, of the mind of our government.
Well, I think what we have to step back is and figure out whether the United States really is going to be the policeman of the world and the savior for the world for all underdog countries who are subjected to the pressure from their more powerful neighbor. Because, you know, we exert pressure on our less powerful neighbors. That's what big countries do to smaller
countries. The Dickens, you say.
Well, we do it at least. we have at least economic pressure that we impose. And so we have to understand that, you know, around the world, When people call for help, will we always respond and should we always respond? Because it's going to take $1 trillion or more a year of defense budget to be that guy.
All right, got to go to break. 844-967-2789. Hang on the phone lines. We'll come to you on the other side. It's Friday. It's Friday with Sandy Williams. We'll be back.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on Oshkosh Air Support WISS and the talk of Green Bay WGBW.
Suddenly, my quarterback is the number one trending topic. Why, you might ask, is Aaron Rodgers trending on Twitter? He's out this game. He's got COVID-19. And to my perception, he freaking lied to us, man. I'm very frustrated that he is not eligible to play this Sunday, especially when you find out your quarterback is a half a Trumpster.
And he claims, I'm not a flat earther, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just play one in the NFL. That pisses me off, man. I was going to bet on that team. Maybe.
New time, 3 to 6 p.m. and Dom.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Ample sunshine expected this afternoon with highs around 26. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows level off around 21. Highs around 39 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. A dusting of snow Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 16.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. But it's Friday, it's Sandy Williams. And you know, Sandy, you can't talk about what's happened in Ukraine without Taiwan always coming up. It's amazing to me how the American people, who don't focus on a lot of the things that we're talking about when it comes to our foreign policy, are so quick to point out that we should protect Taiwan as we should protect Ukraine. And these, again, people who are not in tune at all with our foreign policy. You can't, and I know the reason that the American people feel that way is because we don't want to see those people in those countries suffer. Well, what else can be the reason if you don't know the foreign policy issues?
Yeah, but I mean, we get led by the nose with respect to this. The Khmer Rouge and Pol Pot in Cambodia, killed millions of people. It was an ongoing process, and we didn't lift a finger, because we didn't get involved. So, I mean, while we have this worldwide view of the peacekeeper, the Pax Americana kind of thing, the country that's going to protect all the downtrodden around the world, we do pick and choose where we do that. And in many respects, some of the things we do with respect to, for instance, our dealings with Russia create a backlash. Some of the things we do with respect to how we deal with China creates a backlash from them, so that the hostility we're experiencing might be the result of our own conduct. It might be the reaction to our own conduct because, we are a very powerful nation. And when we decide, we move from a very peaceful arrangement with China to quite a hostile one in the period of about 5 years. And was it really the result of their conduct, or was it the result of a shift in our view because of the success of their economy? We get into a trade war with them, we begin to take a kind of a hostile view, and they begin to become much more aggressive in their response to maybe our action.
Sandy, it is, and this is, this whole belief system in our country is that we have to be number one, as if it's some sports game, right? We want to be number one. We want to make sure people know America's number one. Yay! Why? Why do we have to be number one? What is, and to what the, what are we willing to give up that so we can continue to be number one?
Well, I would hope that we might decide we want to be number one in the satisfaction and happiness of the population, or we'd want to be number one in the welfare of newborn children, or, you know, I should think we'd want to be number one in a bunch of things that relate to the welfare of our population. But the way we seem to measure number one involves economic power
and military power
and might, which in some respects is directly contrary to the ability of our government to then provide for the things that would make our populace happier and more secure.
You know, Sandy, and just like the USSR finally succumbed to trying to continue to build these weapons and be the number one, society, our country, when it comes to military might, eventually, they imploded. Is that possible with our nation?
Well, sure, because like I said, when you look at a military budget that begins to be way disproportionate, it's robbing from the capacity of the government to do the things to regulate. You know, we talked earlier about a government you could trust that would regulate the industries as they should be regulated, to make those industries have a better reputation in the world, as well as to protect the populace. All of the things that, you know, that to have health care for all, to have good health outcomes for the health care that's available to everyone, to have all these things are made much more difficult by a defense budget that's approaching $1 trillion and is half of, more than half of what we spend in any sort of discretionary way. It's like 70% of what we spend.
So what we do know, Sandy, is based on where we are today with our military and the fact that we've used so many of the supplies that we've had in sending them to Ukraine, we're certainly not going to cut the military budget anyways near soon.
No, the Biden administration asked for, I think it was 812 and got 852 or something. They got a bigger budget than they asked for. Now, this time, they're going in and asking for a bigger budget than they had last time. So that, you know, the appetite for spending across both aisles seems to have expanded. There are some in Washington and in Congress who are beginning to chafe about the level of military expenditure and want to put some analysis into it. But, you know, it's been a political third rail, and as far as the liberals are concerned, I'm kind of worried about that, because the liberals have become as hawkish as any partisan group. And they're the ones who are wanting to spend money in other directions as well. So it's sort of a robbing Peter to pay Paul. In order to satisfy this hawkish political instinct, they're making it much more difficult to accomplish a lot of the progressive programs.
Well, you know, because this belief that China is the up-and-coming, you know, superpower, and if we don't do this, they're going to overtake us, and just stupidity. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to overtake us militarily overnight. Well, did you know that China is building aircraft carriers? Are you aware of that, Earl, that China? What are we building? Come on, man. I mean, I sometimes, Sandy, think that the American people were just so uninformed, right? And we're blind. So it's easy to say China's building aircraft carriers. Hey, Earl, do you know what aircraft carriers are used for? They're offensive weapons. Oh, they are. So why do we have so many?
Yeah. I mean, the fact is that the world must look at the United States and all of our military might and worry a little bit about how it is we might use it, or how we're flexing our muscle and how we're imposing our will around the world, because we do impose our will around the world, and we view it as being a voluntary decision on the part of everyone who agrees with us. But the fact is that what would be our problem to have another country somewhat like the United States with a great deal of power?
All right, we got to get out of here. Thank everybody who made this show go. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Calvin. Great week. I'll be back on Monday. We'll be back on Monday, Sandy and I. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
Hold up. Baby. Hold up. It ain't over. It's not over. The party's not over. Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV